9. Athor 77's eyes narrowed, and he scrutinized the little sheaf of printouts lying before him on the desk as though they were maps of continents that no one had ever known existed. He was very calm. He was amazed at how calm he was.
"Very interesting, Binet," he said slowly. "Very, very interesting."
"Of course, sir, there's always the possibility that not only have I made some crucial error in fundamental assumptions, but that Emot and Faro also..."
"All three of you getting your basic postulates wrong? No, Binet, I think not."
"I just wanted to indicate that the possibility exists."
"Please," Athor said, "let me think."
It was mid-morning. Onos in full glory blazed in the sky that was visible through the tall window of the observatory director's office. Dovim was barely apparent, a small, hard red dot of light, making a high northerly transit. Athor fingered the papers, moving them about again and again on his desk, and moved them yet again. How strange to be taking this so easily, he thought. Binet was the one who seemed all wrought up over it. He himself had scarcely reacted at all. "Perhaps I'm in shock," Athor speculated. "Over here, sir, I have the orbit of Kalgash according to the generally accepted almanac computation, and here, on the printout, we have the orbital prediction that the new computer..."
"Please, Binet, I said I wanted to think."
Binet nodded jerkily. Athor smiled at him. Not an easy thing for Athor to do. The formidable head of the observatory, a tall, thin, commanding-looking man with an impressive shock of thick white hair, had allowed himself so long ago to slip into the role of austere giant of science that it was difficult for him to unbend and permit himself to show ordinary human responses. At least, it was difficult for him while he was here at the observatory, where everyone looked upon him as a sort of demigod. At home, with his wife, with his children, especially with his noisy flock of grandchildren, it was a different matter. So universal gravitation wasn't quite right, was it? No, no, that was impossible. Every atom of common sense in him protested at the thought. The concept of universal gravitation was fundamental to any comprehension of the structure of the universe, Athor was certain. Athor knew. It was too clean, too logical, too beautiful to be wrong. Take universal gravitation away and the entire logic of the cosmos dissolved into chaos. Inconceivable, unimaginable. But these figures, this damnable printout of Binet's. "I can see you're angry, sir," Binet chattering again, "and I want to tell you I can quite understand it. The way this must hit you, anyone would be angry, having his life's work jeopardized this way."
"Binet!"
"Just let me say, sir, that I'd give anything not to have had to bring you this today. I know you're furious with me for coming in here with this, but I can only say that I thought long and hard before I did. What I really wanted to do was burn everything and forget I ever got started on any of this. I'm appalled that I found what I did, and appalled that I was the one who..."
"Binet!"
Athor said again in his most ominous voice.
"Sir?" "I am furious with you, yes, but not for the reason you think."
"Sir?"
"Number one, I'm annoyed at the way you've been babbling at me when all I want to do is sit here and quietly work through the implications of these papers that you've just tossed at me. Number two, and much more important, I'm absolutely outraged that you'd have hesitated for so much as a moment to bring me your findings. Why did you wait so long?"
"It was only yesterday that I finished double-checking."
"Yesterday? Then you should have been in here yesterday. Do you really mean to say, Binet, that you seriously considered suppressing all this? That you would have simply tossed your results away and said nothing?"
"No, sir," said Binet miserably. "I never actually thought about doing that."
"Well, that's a blessing. Tell me, man, do you think I'm so enamored of my own beautiful theory that I'd want one of my most gifted associates to shield me from the unpleasant news that the theory's got a flaw in it?"
"No, sir, of course not."
"Then why didn't you come running in here with the news the moment you were sure you were right?"
Because, sir," Binet looked as though he wanted to vanish into the carpet. "Because I knew how upset you'd be. Because I thought you might... Well, you might be so upset that your health would be affected. So I held back. I talked to a couple of friends. I
thought through my own position on all of this, and I came to see that I really had no choice. I had to tell you that the theory of
So you really do believe I love my own theory more than I do the truth, eh?
Oh, no, no, sir. Again, Athor smiled, and this time it was no effort at all.
But I do, you know. I'm as human as anybody else, believe it or not. The theory of universal gravitation brought me every scientific honor this planet has to offer. It's my passport to immortality, Bine. You know that. And I have to deal with the possibility that the theory's wrong. Oh, it's a powerful shock, Bine. It goes right through me from front to back. Make no mistake about that. Of course, I still believe that my theory is correct.
Sir? Said Bine, all too obviously aghast. But I've checked and checked and checked again, and
oh, your findings are correct, too, I'm sure of that. For you and Faro and Emot all to have done it wrong. No, no, I've already said I don't see much chance of that. But what you've got here doesn't necessarily overthrow universal gravitation.
Bine blinked a few times. It doesn't?
Certainly not,
Athor said, warming to the situation. He felt almost cheerful now. The deathly, unreal calm of the first few moments had given way to the very different tranquility that one feels when one is in pursuit of truth.
What does the theory of universal gravitation say, after all? That every body in the universe exerts a force on all other bodies proportional to mass and distance. And what did you attempt to do in using universal gravitation to compute the orbit of Galgash? Why, to factor in the gravitational impact that all the various astronomical bodies exert on our world as it travels around Onos. Is that not so?
Yes, sir.
Well, then, there's no need to throw the theory of universal gravitation out. At least, not at this point. What we need to do, my friend, is simply to rethink our comprehension of the universe and determine whether we're ignoring something that should be figured into our calculations. Some mysterious factor, that is, which all unbeknownst to us is exerting gravitational force on Galgash and isn't being taken into account.
Bine's eyebrows rose alarmingly. He gaped at Athor in what could only have been a look of total astonishment. Then he began to laugh. He smothered it at first by clamping his jaws, but the laughter insisted on escaping anyway, causing him to hunch his shoulders and emit strangled, lurching coughs, and then he had to clap both his hands over his mouth to hold back the torrent of merriment. Athor watched, flabbergasted.
An unknown factor, Bine blurted after a moment. A dragon in the sky! An invisible giant!
Dragons? Giants? What are you talking about, boy?
Yesterday evening, Theramon 762... Oh, sir, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry.
Bine struggled to regain his self-control. Muscles writhed in his face. He blinked violently and caught his breath. He turned away for an instant, and when he turned back, he was almost himself again. Shamefacedly, he said, I had a couple of drinks with Theramon 762 yesterday evening, the newspaper columnist, you know, and told him something about what I'd found and how uneasy I was about bringing my findings to you.
You went to a newspaper man?
A very trustworthy one, a close friend.
They're all scoundrels, Bine, believe me.
Not this one, sir. I know him, and I know he'd never do anything to hurt me or offend me. In fact, Theramon gave me some excellent advice, by which I mean he said I absolutely had to come here, which is why I did. But also, trying to offer me some hope, you see, some consolation. He said the same thing you did. That maybe there was an unknown factor, his exact phrase, an unknown factor that was confusing our understanding of Kalgash's orbit. And I laughed and told him that it was useless to drag unknown factors into the situation, that it was too easy a solution. I suggested, sarcastically of course, that if we allowed any such hypothesis, then we might as well tell ourselves that it was an invisible giant that was pushing Kalgash out of orbit, or the breath of a giant dragon. And now here you are, sir, taking the same line of reasoning. Not a layman like Theramon, but the greatest astronomer in the world. Do you see how foolish I feel, sir?
I think I do, said Athor.
All this was becoming a little trying. He ran his hand through his imposing white mane and gave Bine a look of mingled irritation and compassion.
You were right to tell your friend that inventing fantasies to solve a problem isn't very useful.
But the random suggestions of Lehman aren't always without merit. For all we know, there is some unknown factor at work on Galgash's orbit. We need at least to consider that possibility before we toss the theory overboard. I think what we need to do here is to make use of Thargola's sword. You know what that is, Binet?
Of course, sir. The principle of parsimony. First put forth by the medieval philosopher Thargola XIV, who said, we must drive a sword through any hypothesis that is not strictly necessary, or words to that effect.
Very good, Binet. Though the way I was taught it, it's, if we are offered several hypotheses, we should begin our considerations by striking the most complex of them with our sword. Here we have the hypothesis that the theory of universal gravitation is in error, versus the hypothesis that you've left out some unknown and perhaps unknowable factor in making your calculations of the orbit of Galgash. If we accept the first hypothesis, then everything we think we know about the structure of the universe tumbles into chaos. If we accept the second one, all we need to do is locate the unknown factor, and the fundamental order of things is preserved. It's a lot simpler to try to find something we may have overlooked than it would be to come up with a new general law governing the movements of heavenly bodies. So the hypothesis that the theory of gravitation is wrong falls before Thargola's sword, and we begin our investigations by working with the simpler explanation of the problem. Eh, Binet? What do you say?
Binet looked radiant. Then I haven't overthrown universal gravitation after all.
Not yet, anyway. You've probably won a place in scientific history for yourself, but we don't know yet whether it's as a debunker or as an originator. Let's pray it's the latter. And now, we need to do some very hard thinking, young man.
Aethor 77 closed his eyes and rubbed his forehead, which was beginning to ache. It had been a long time since he'd done any real science, he realized. He'd occupied himself almost entirely with administrative matters at the observatory for the past 8 or 10 years. But the mind that had produced the theory of universal gravitation might yet have a thought or two left in it, he told himself.
First, I want to take a closer look at these calculations of yours, he said. And then, I suppose, a closer look at my own theory.